Well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. We are recording here on Thanksgiving morning at 11:10 a.m. I'm Chad Sherwood.
I went to the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade for my float. First, they said they didn't have a float. I tried to explain to them, and then they locked me up. The David Griggs float.
I thought I saw that. I thought that's on TV right now. I thought I said coming up next. No,
they've got me locked up.
Those of you tuned in intently to the Thanksgiving Day Parade right now, waiting for the David Griggs float. Apparently, there's been some technical difficulties. After we spent the entire Hoops HD budget
for New York, so I'd get arrested, Chad.
We spent the entire Hoops HD budget setting you there for the float, David. What's going on?
They locked me up. Is what's going on. First, they said because of what happened a few years ago, I was never allowed back and to leave immediately. And when I tried to explain, no, I have a float here, they arrested me.
Doing a little old school style here. Just myself and David Griggs, the way we did the very first Under the Radar show, 35 years ago, whenever we started doing this this nonsense.
I think they're still archived. I recommend that you do not go back and watch them. I did once, and I was like, holy cow, these are bad.
They were awful.
My
video was awful at the beginning also. I think it was my own computer. And I do apologize to everybody. There's a big, bright light over my head. I couldn't find anything to cover that window up with. So that shows you we're recording this in the daytime as opposed to the evening.
Thanksgiving morning.
Let's get right into Under the Radar. What is Under the Radar, David? You want to refresh everyone what the heck Under the Radar means? Should we just not bother this week?
No, we'll do it real quick. In layman's terms, it is the 22 regular one-bid leagues. Now, I need to preface that by saying there's no rule that says these teams can only get one bid. They certainly can get more. We're going to talk about some teams in the next few minutes that we think could get in without the automatic bid, but that's what it is. More specifically, what it is that it's teams that are not in the Power Six or the Power Five plus the Big East and the four other multi-bid leagues, which are the American, the West Coast, the Atlantic 10, and the Mountain West. I didn't forget one. And then, of course, the Power 5, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12, SEC, ACC, and Big East. The other disqualifier is the top 25.
I'm watching the Macy's parade right now, David, and there you – oh, no, wait, I'm sorry. That was Elmo. I thought that was you.
How did you mistake me for Elmo? Elmo looks like someone on some LSD trip came up with.
Don't be attacking Elmo. Come on.
lives on the street.
let's move on to the we start with the feature conference. Why don't we do that? Let's get the screen share up here, and hopefully our feature conference will show up. If not, then we'll figure out what the heck's going on. And I thought this was a good week to actually feature a conference that's already picked up a few notable wins and almost picked up another one last night. David, I figured let's start with the Patriot League. After what Navy did beating Virginia, Colgate goes into Syracuse and beats them by 15. Lafayette beat Rutgers. And BU took Florida State to overtime last night. Almost pulled that. I thought they had the game. They really did too.
And how amazing would that have been for the Patriot League to collectively hit picked up what would have been their third road win against not just an ACC team, but an ACC team that's expected to go to the tournament. A lot of big surprises. Navy overall having a good year in addition to that. It wasn't kind of a one-hit wonder.
Well, the win at Furman this past weekend was...
Yeah, the win at Furman is, notable, you know, yeah. Furman, who also won at Louisville. Well, you know, we've mentioned that before. But the thing about what's happening in the Patriot League, at least from my vantage point, if you go back and look at the media day and look at what we did sort of on the preseason under the radar, the teams that are sort of exploding onto the scene, Boston U, who didn't get the win, but who played very well, and Navy, these weren't who we thought would be at the top. We thought it would be Colgate, who is up there, but there's more surprises in this league than any other league, at least with me so far.
Yeah. I mean, BU, I think was the media poll or the coaches poll preseason pick in the conference. So that there was some noise around BU heading into the season at least, we could have a real good, at least three, maybe even a four team race here with Navy, BU and Colgate definitely up there this season. It could be a real fun Patriot League season from what we've seen so far. So I kind of like it, you know, and it's kind of a conference that we really didn't know anything about last season. If you recall, the conference only played games against in conference games last season. The only non-conference game that any Patriot League team played all season last year was Colgate's NCAA tournament game. That was it.
So no out-of-conference games. And on top of that, they diced this up into three divisions, so you didn't even have games within the conference to measure it against.
Navy played five teams all of last season total.
Yeah,
that's their time. They played each one like four times, but that was their schedule last season. Was
right. So it's kind of nice to see this back to normal. And man, how's this being fun? And then teams that Army starting off 2-2 against D1. I think that this is going to be a fun league. The other thing I like about this is as you get in the conference play, the storyline of the tournament being at campus sites. I know I beat that drum constantly, but it's true. It adds a lot of stakes and a lot of excitement to the regular season when there's something on the line.
It does. I think, because you are playing for that home court, and if Navy and BU and Colgate are all powerhouses, one of them has got to play on the road in the semifinals.
Right. They do. Yeah.
Not even have to play in the road of the championship game, but that may make it impossible for that third place team to make it to make the automatic bid. It may be down to the first two, but what a week for BU with that. Won their little four team event, beating Northern Illinois and Sam Houston. And
Sam Houston, pretty good team.
Yeah. Sam Houston's okay team. Upcoming schedule though. Let's take a look. What's more we're going to see this week in the Patriot League coming up? There's Lehigh at Virginia coming up. Tomorrow, Friday. I don't know. That there's any other. I guess BU at George Washington next Wednesday is probably one to also circle. That's a very winnable road game.
It is a real winnable game. That's as critical of GW as it is praise of BU. But I mean, who's looked better so far?
Is it even close? I guess we should keep half an eye on Lafayette here also. After they would start out 0-4 and then they would go on the road into the rack and beat Rutgers. So let's see if they really have anything or if that was just how bad Rutgers really is, but it might be the latter. Let's go ahead and run through the rest of the conference though. We'll start off in the America East. Run through everything else here kind of in alphabetical order. Vermont, the loss to Oakland in their event was kind of disappointing. I think what they end up finishing in, I guess it was fifth place. So they go into the loser size bracket in their four team event. They did beat Evansville and Appalachian State, but a fifth place finish in their event that we thought they had a shot to win there.
Yeah, they did. That Vermont-Oakland game was a really good game. Oakland, who we'll get to here in a little bit, with the win at Oklahoma State, and you got to start to wonder what kind of profile are they putting together. But to your point, one of the things that we always look at least until they give us a reason not to, is there anything here that could land you inside the bubble? I think Vermont needed that one. And
that was the Gulf Coast Showcase, by the way. I was trying to recall which event that was. Go ahead, David.
I think Vermont needed that one. Now, having said that, there hasn't been much else in this league that strikes me as being on Vermont's level.
Lowell won at George Washington.
Yeah, Lowell won at George Washington, and they won at Dayton too. So, I mean, but those teams are terrible this year.
Lowell could finish in the top half of the A-10.
They probably would. The bottom half of the A-10 would not finish in the top half of the America East. Now, the top half of the A-10 would blow the roof off of this. But is anybody else good enough to keep pace with Vermont?
I don't know. Maybe Lowell really does have something this year. Maybe that's the other team we should be talking about. I've not seen, Stony Brook has not shown me anything. They're a traditional powerhouse. They lost to Fairfield yesterday. Mm-hmm. New Hampshire, Maine loses at home to Central Connecticut. So they probably will not qualify for the America East tournament again.
Right.
So maybe Lowell is going to be the second best team. Maybe we should be keeping a little more of an eye on them this season.
Yeah, I think so. Because I think Vermont is by far the best team, but the second best team, if it's Lowell, might be better enough than everyone else to keep pace with Vermont, because while they're not as good as Vermont, they only play them twice. So you figure if they can get Vermont once at home, they can tie them.
Even more important, they'll have the inside track to be the team that plays at Vermont in the America East Championship game and just have to win that one game.
Yeah.
you just focus it on one game. Beat the team you should beat and focus on the America East title game. Mm-hmm. Upcoming schedule here in the America East. We've got on Saturday, we've got Vermont's at Greensboro. UMBC is a very winnable road game at Pitt for a very weak UMBC team. Stony Brook, if they have anything at all, I've been disappointed with them. They're at Yale on Sunday, so something else to, you know,
bit of a sneaky good game here, Chad. We're going to talk about Brown later on the show. This is a good Brown team, that Brown UMass bowl game. I'm kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, so circle that one. That's coming up. And that's not until next Wednesday. So, that's a little bit of ways away. Let's move over to the A-Sun Conference, where Liberty has been, you know, actually they lost to Iona, but only by four against an Iona team that I really do like. Then this was the second half of it was the MAC A-Sun Challenge. The A-Sun went 0-4 in the event as inexplicably they got blown out by Manhattan on Saturday, and that's really told me that, you know, maybe I had this Liberty team way overrated heading into the season.
I'm with you on that. Like, the Iona loss wasn't alarming at all. It was disappointing because you looked at it as a missed opportunity. But for them to just go in and get beaten that bad by Manhattan, their other loss to LSU also maybe missed opportunity at worst, but not discouraging. That one is. And then when you suddenly collectively look at them, it's like, is Liberty even that good? And is anybody in this conference good? I like Eastern Kentucky's team. I think I've been more impressed with them and Lipscomb than I have Liberty.
I mean, the only team I look at, I mean, Gulf Coast, it was at home, but it was a win over Rhode Island. That was, you know, that did catch my attention a little bit. I don't think this Rhode Island team is awful. This is a Rhode Island team that would probably finish above the America East teams if they were in the same conference. But that was it. I mean, you know, I still think Jacksonville State, Eastern Kentucky, our teams to look at, even Lipscomb as we go forward in the season. But maybe Liberty is not head and shoulders above the rest of this conference as we thought they were.
Yeah.
The upcoming games, though, David, Eastern Kentucky's at West Virginia. Forget about that one.
they're probably overmatched in that one. Like, they are out to their record's bloated out a little bit. But if you notice, the strength of schedule's in the 320s, I think. I don't know. If they want to make a statement, that's their chance. But I think they're swinging way over their head.
I'm actually looking for Liberty on the schedule here. I don't even see that. Oh, they're not playing until next Thursday. They're hosting. Are they hosting Missouri? It says they're hosting Missouri.
They are. I forgot what the circumstances of that were, but yeah.
Actually, they're hosting Eastern Shore on Saturday also. That they better win that game.
But, real quick, a shout out to Bellarmine here transitioning up. If you can pull is this a program that needs to beef up its schedule, Chad? Or are they playing good enough teams?
Let's see. They played UCLA and Gonzaga the past week. So I think that they're kind of, you know, they're giving themselves a few challenges.
Yeah.
Did they win that Central Michigan game yesterday, or they lost that one?
I think they won it.
Okay. We can actually go back to the scoreboard page. We normally don't go backwards on the show, normally forwards. We're a little backwards today. It's backwards. They beat Central Michigan. So that was their lone win so far in the season.
Yeah. So Gonzaga, UCLA, and I believe West Virginia coming up this week. God, they're swinging for the fence.
Let's jump over to the Big Sky Conference, where there is a team that I'm. We have an undefeated team here in Weber State that, you know, picked up a win over Ball State and picked up a win over Green Bay. Not great Ball State or great Green Bay team, but these are solid mid-major wins. They're not pastry cart.
Yeah. I mean, it was not the like you mentioned, and, you know, kind of the team that I like a lot, and they could still end up having a big year. Southern Utah slipping a little bit, not bad losses by under the radar standards, but wins that you would thought that a team that was as good as I thought they were would be able to get.
Southern Utah did end up winning their event, correct? That they beat both Yale and Bowling Green. So they had a good week this week.
A nice bounce back for them. And those are their only two D1 wins at the point. But we were out to, like you said, a pretty good start. And I kind of had them coming into the year thinking they were going to be around the middle of the standings or so.
I thought it was them in Southern Utah. I did like Southern Utah better than them, but I thought that those were the two teams to watch in this conference. I'm not shocked by it, but I do like the fact that they did pick up the wins in these games that might look fairly even on paper heading into them. They're, you know, two solid mid-major programs fighting each other. They're at Dixie State on Saturday, Weber, and then they're hosting Northern Arizona in a early season Big Sky Conference game there coming up on Thursday. In fact, the whole conference gets an early round of play beginning still a week away, but next week.
Yeah, I believe, and I could be wrong, that they went to the 20-game conference schedule format, which means trying to get some games in before the students leave for campus.
At least they didn't at least they didn't do the 22-game conference format, Horizon League. Right. Yes, it is. That's the whole point of this, is get them in before the winter break.
Right. And when you look at Idaho here, I mean, as we see every year, that rivalry with Wazoo is so intense. It just seems like every year after that game, Idaho runs out of gas and just can't win.
Yeah. And given that they struggled before that game also this year, it's going
to
be a tough
season. Well, they struggled before the game because they were looking ahead to that game.
Okay, that must have been it. Let's jump over to the Big South Conference.
8 miles apart.
Big South Conference. We see Campbell, who was a team we liked hanging into the season, is off to a 4-1 start. So, you know, that's pretty good. But I really haven't seen much of anything from this league yet.
No.
Really, Campbell, the only team – Devin Presby, the only teams with 3 D1 wins so far.
Yeah, and Campbell's one loss was at Duke, and it was a game that they actually made it interesting for a lot longer than I thought it would be. So kind of a team to keep an eye on there. Charleston Southern's in the crapper. Yeah, nothing really going on here. This is a conference we typically like. Winthrop is a team that I thought was going to be better this year. If they are, they haven't shown it yet.
No, they lost at Vanderbilt, which, yes, it's an SEC team, but it is the worst SEC team. So it's a game that I thought they had a shot at being in. But they were actually competitive in the game at Washington State as well on Monday night. So, you know, only lost by 6. And I think it's a half-decent Washington State team this year.
Yeah, it really is.
Presby, the win yesterday over VMI, you know, kind of, you know, keep half an eye on this Presby team. I think they are better. They may be better than we think they're going to be.
I thought they would be awful. So they're already better than I thought
they would. Let's take a look at the upcoming schedule. Presby's at New Orleans, a winnable game. That is actually to today. That's part of one of the few non. And I think there might be a stream or something like that for that game. But they are they're playing a Thanksgiving game day here later today at New Orleans in some type of event. And what else do we see coming up here? If you want to look at
Campbell can keep Campbell. Going there winning.
Campbell's at Stetson on Saturday, and I don't know. They've got to be on there somewhere else, but they're hosting Lancaster Bible College. That should be that could be a bit of a challenge, I guess.
Yeah.
let's keep things roll right along here over to the Big West Conference, where UC San Diego and UC Davis all suffered losses after they were undefeated last week. I'm sorry, UC Davis losing twice, and you know I think that's the end of the big UC Davis news, but
UC San Diego has really impressed me. They're in their first year of their transition, and they are
like already, second year.
Yeah,
last year did count as a year of the transition, even though they only played like 8 games. But
good for them. I don't think I realized that. Yeah, you mentioned it about 20 times on the show, but yeah,
they were in our Big West standings last year. Go back and look, watch last year's podcast might be watchable. You know, 10 years ago, forget it. But last year's
But off to a 3-1 start. Some really notable wins. I just like this league. The Eaters up there, Santa Barbara up there, like Riverside, always a good story.
Well, they won that game at Arizona State on the 3-quarter court shot too.
Yeah, so
that was a huge story for Riverside.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like how they've kind of elevated their program in recent years, the top half of this league is a lot of fun. And UC San Diego in the mix, I thought they'd kind of get run over, at least at the beginning of their transition, but holding their own so far.
Yeah, Irvine with a blowout win over Pepperdine. Not just they beat Pepperdine, which might have looked at it almost as an even type of game heading into it, but the fact that they just rolled them 82-48 over the weekend, that is, that got my attention with this Irvine team. And
they have some opportunities, don't they? This is a good Eaters team, UC Irvine.
Let's go take a look at their schedule here. We could do this.
Yeah.
UC Irvine. Let's pull them up here on the left-hand side there. They've got at Santa Clara, at Fresno, at USC, at Buffalo. They've got a neutral court game against Duquesne. And then they move into conference play. So
yeah. So this stretch of games coming up, Santa Clara, only one loss. It was last night. Fresno State unbeaten. USC top 25, and Duquesne's in the A-10.
They're in the A-10. That's below the American East half, though. Yeah. I think. let's take a look at the upcoming schedule in the Big West as we keep jumping around here. San Diego is playing Southern Miss and UNC Wilmington in an event over the weekend. That's a, I'm not certain where that event's being held, but it's being held somewhere. And what else are we looking at? Irvine, we see their schedule is there. They are at Santa Clara, like we mentioned.
Oh, yes. I didn't know this. On Sunday, look who UC Davis is playing. Just the name of the school, the Academy of Art.
Is it going to be a basketball game or is it going to be an art drawing contest? I don't know.
Is Carver College playing the Academy of Art?
Riverside, who we said we like, maybe in their over their heads a little bit on Monday night at St. Mary's.
Probably so. God, what a start there off.
On the other hand, Wednesday at Oregon, that might be a winnable game the way the Ducks are playing so far this season. Let's jump over to the Colonial Athletic Association. And I guess let's start with a little bit. There's a little bit more James Madison news that came out. Not only are they ineligible for the Colonial Tournament, only eligible to get into the NCAA through an at-large bid, which is highly unlikely, especially after they lost the game to Kent State this week. But the Colonial then went ahead and revised their CBS Sports Network television schedule to remove every single James Madison conference game from that schedule. James Madison was supposed to appear on national TV two or three times. All those games were pulled off of the national TV package. I mean, now the Colonial is just getting petty. I understood part of the thing, but they're getting very petty now.
They are, and that's the best way to put it. And I want to preface this. I have no issues at all with a conference making its own rules and then holding the schools accountable to those rules. I don't like it for James Madison's players and coaches, particularly the players, not just in basketball, but in everything, because those kids do not make administrative decisions. It has nothing to do with them, why they're leaving, but okay. And at the end of the day, you kind of want to rally the troops and say, well, look, guys, there's no rule that says we can't make the NCAA tournament. We just need to get inside the bubble. But when you start to do things like what the Colonial is doing as far as removing them from already previously scheduled television games, it's starting to verify that, you know what, JMU, you are making the right decision. Get away from this.
Yeah, it's I think the only game they're hosting, is it Virginia they're hosting at some point? Yes. Here? And that's the only games that they kept on the TV package because I don't think CBS Sports Network wanted to give that one up. But
Lot of Flow Hoops this year for James Madison.
Lots and lots. If you want to see them, go check out Flow Hoops. Here's the upcoming schedule. Interesting game Saturday. Charleston is off to a 3-2 start at Chattanooga. That's a kind of an under-the-radar game of the day type of game to circle there on Saturday.
Yeah, it really is. That's a real good game.
And also the Northeastern Harvard game on Saturday as well. You know,
Beanpot action.
A little Beanpot action, absolutely. Yeah. Let's move right over to Conference USA, where there are two teams that, you know, I was circling heading into the season. I think I'm still circling them. That's both Louisiana Tech and UAB.
Yeah, UAB, I was actually kind of surprised they did not get the win at South Carolina. I think that's one they kind of needed. Not that South Carolina is a next level type of opponent, but if UAB is a tournament caliber team, which we kind of thought that they were at least a fringe bubble team, that's kind of the games that you need to be able to win. It isn't a top 25 team, but when you go on the road against an NIT team, if you're a bubble team, should you win that game? And they didn't. But I still have them circled. La Tech really good as well. They're only lost to Alabama. No issues with that one. What about Western Kentucky, Chad? Have you been as disappointed in them as I have, or are you just like, well, that's what Western Kentucky does? They disappoint you.
I'm not writing them off by any means yet. I mean, they have not looked. You know, and then they've played a couple tough teams. You see, they lost this week. They lost to Memphis. Obviously, you don't really expect them to win the Memphis game, but a little disappointed with them so far. I don't think that they are done by any means. I think that they are a good team. I think they will. They are good enough to win that East Division. Although the other team that looked pretty good this week actually was Middle Tennessee. They only beat Ryder and Mercer, but they did bring home the hardware as the champion of their event that they were in. That was I can double check the name of that event real quick here. I believe that was the it's the Cancun Challenge Mayan Division.
Right. So the Cancun Challenge, I get, you know, in several different places. I don't think this is where the ceiling collapsed, but Middle Tennessee was just in, you know, the dregs when Kermit Davis left. Are they pulling themselves out of that? Are we going to see them kind of start to be back toward the top of CUSA now? I don't know.
I mean, it'd be, you know, CUSA is about to make some major changes, although Middle Tennessee will be one of the teams that is sticking around in CUSA. One of the very few teams that is sticking around. So I don't know that they have it this year, especially because I really like what's in the West Division of this conference here.
Yeah, I do too.
I mean, even beyond Louisiana Tech, you would be, I think, North Texas.
Oh, North Texas. Yeah. I mean, they're good. And UTEP, kind of surprising, at least to me. I didn't think they would be that good.
Oh, 1-1 against D1. Oh, no, that's North Texas. I'm sorry. The 2-2 is UTEP. Upcoming schedule, very interesting UAB New Mexico game today.
Great game. Yeah.
And then the winner of that, and then they get either San Francisco or Towson in the second round of that event. That is, I don't know, it's some event or another here. Maybe I can figure out what now. That is the Las Vegas Invitational. That'll be on FS1 even. So national TV even for UAB.
Right.
New Mexico and then either San Francisco or Towson. Yeah. It'll be a good event.
Yeah, it will be. Circling back to what we said earlier about not getting the win at South Carolina, this is a chance New Mexico State – or New Mexico, sorry, bloated record. And if they win – if they can win this event, San Francisco also bloated record. I think San Francisco is going to clobber Towson. So this is – today's game is big.
I don't know if they can beat San Francisco. I think they can win today. I don't know if they can beat San Francisco.
I don't either, but they need that opportunity.
Right.
Yeah, they don't want to just go out and play – they don't want to come out of this with just a win against Towson.
Meanwhile, Western Kentucky should pick up a few wins. Tennessee, Martin, and Rhodes. I don't know what Rhodes is. I've heard of Rhodes Scholars. Is anything to do with that? I don't know. Maybe they got a good scholar. Louisiana Tech has Texas Southern next week. I don't really think that they have much else here. But let's move along here. Let's move over to the Horizon League, where we already touched a little bit about some of these teams, but Oakland, a very, very impressive team, winning the Gulf Coast Showcase, beating Vermont, Rice, and Delaware. Not the toughest opponents with Rice and Delaware, but they did win that event after already picking up the big win over Oklahoma State.
Yeah, I'm starting to buy in more and more to this Oakland team. Coming into the year, I mean, we liked them, but I think we like Cleveland State a lot more. Like, if you would say on Thanksgiving Day, who looks the most like they could get inside the bubble, I think before the season we would have said Cleveland State. Now I think we're saying Oakland.
Yeah, and especially if you look at, I mean, the perennial powers in this conference seem to have been Wright State and Northern Kentucky, both of them off to very weak starts. Wright State losing to JMU and Long Beach in their event. Northern Kentucky losing a home game to Western Illinois this week. Now, Western Illinois is a much improved team so far this season, but still, you've got to win a home game over Western Illinois. You would think that they could win that if they're a contender in this conference.
Yeah, Oakland, because of the – look at this. You got to say you got to sustain it throughout conference play. They've only got four more out-of-conference games, 5-2. This team's playing a 22 – oh, no, I'm sorry. They only have two more, don't they? The Horizon League going to the 22-game ridiculous format for a conference this year.
Yeah, 12-team conference doing a full double-round robin. They have two knock – they actually start next week for some early conference play.
They got Bowling Green, Michigan State, and that's got a couple more chances, and that's it. Those are their final two out of conference games.
It's not till December 21st, but that Michigan State game could be interesting. That team tends to always be a very close game every year they play, and so and Oakland has knocked them off a few times.
So it's kind of, I don't think we've ever, if you follow us from year to year, you know that right around the end of December, January, that sort of that first under the radar show when most teams get it in the conference, we look at everybody and it's like, okay, who can get inside the bubble? Let's do that with Oakland. Have they done enough if they hold serve?
They got to beat Michigan State.
You think they got to beat Michigan State? You don't think Oklahoma State's enough if they hold serve?
They definitely have to. Let's assume you go 20-2 in this 22.
Yeah, 20-2.
Okay. Like, and let's assume you also win at Bowling Green, which is not an easy assumption.
No, that's a big win.
Yeah, I think with that type of a gaudy record, you're now looking at 25, 26 wins heading into the conference tournament. So maybe, so, you know, it could be 28, 29 wins. It'd be tough to leave a team like that out, honestly, especially but I also don't know how well that Oklahoma State win is going to hold up. That is a tier one win right now. That could be a tier three win by the end of the season if this Oklahoma
State
team gets
beat up in conference. It could be, because mentally, where are they at? Yeah. You know, not being eligible for the tournament themselves.
And somebody's got to take losses in the Big 12, and Oklahoma State may be the team that only picks that only wins two or three games in conference in the Big 12. So that's where I think if you
If they go to Michigan State and win, I think that you've got to say, okay, this is a team that's gotten some stripes on its profile if they hold serve, which is hard to do over 22 games. Oh, my goodness.
And that is a it's a neutral court game. I believe they play in Detroit, that Michigan State game. So it's not even a road game for them, but definitely could be something. This week's schedule here, Oakland is at UIC, as we mentioned, as they start that early conference play. That won't be till next Thursday. Oh, sorry, is that next Tuesday? No, next Thursday.
Next Thursday. That's
correct, yeah. Until then, they have nothing, but you see a few of the other games on the schedule there.
Okay, a play to the Horizon League, because there actually are Horizon League people that watch this show, believe it or not. Don't do this 22-game format again. Go to divisions. You've got to give yourselves more chances than that.
Yeah, and you really limit the chances to pick up a big win, especially because a lot of these schools are going to want to schedule a few big bye games that they probably can't win.
Right, yeah.
Because they want a few of those paychecks. Ivy League time.
Yeah. Now, here's a league with plenty of out-of-conference games.
Yes. They are done. They need to schedule teams like MIT and Mount St. Vincent so that they can get enough games in. But, Yale is now off to Yale's 4th. It's Cornell. It's off to the 5-1 start. They picked up a win over SFPA. I don't know. Brown lost the game to Colorado, but they were very, very competitive in that game. I think you want to talk a little Brown early.
Let's look at Brown. And again, 4-3, there, if you look at what's on the surface, it might not impress you that much, but if you watch them play, you know, the close loss to Colorado, the close loss to, can you pull them up, Jen?
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can pull them up here. Go ahead. Yeah. You could just say something to Phil while it loads. Go ahead.
Yeah. It's the team that we like coming in, and I hate to do this, but like going to North Carolina, holding a lead for a lot of that game, didn't win it. I know that like wins are what matters, and then nearly beating Colorado. Creighton, also a really good team. I hate to sing the praises of a team that's done nothing other than almost beat good teams and really only has two D1 wins. But when comparing them to the rest of the, who's in the Ivy Leagues looking more close to as good as they have as far as like just the eye test?
They have a very winnable rest of their non-conference schedule. Bryant, at Quinnipiac, at Lowell, Sacred Heart at home, at Merrimack, Vermont at home, at Rhode Island, and at a Maryland team, that looked very good. Now, by the end of December, Maryland may have things turned around. But other than that, they could pick up some more non-conference games. I don't think there's a shot at a bubble or anything like that here. But but they could be one of the favorites heading into conference play. Them with Yale, with, you know, a few of these other teams.
This is a team other than, and I think this all started, Chad, I really do, when they won the Ocean State Tournament Championship years ago. But this is a team that doesn't really, how often are we talking about Brown ever, other than when they're winning the Ocean State Tournament, is a team that could make the NCAA tournament? Have they ever made it? I guess they've been there at some point, but good grief. This is a good story.
Well, big Ocean State rivalry coming up here on Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And do they play Rhodey or Providence?
They do play Rhodey later on, I believe. So,
it work out?
I don't believe that. I don't believe they have Providence on the schedule. Let me go back to their team sheet again. Let's see here. No Providence.
We might have another Ocean State tournament.
If they could be Bryant and Rhodey, they will be your Ocean State champions again, though. Or at least should be.
Rhodey needs to be Providence. Or did Rhodey already do that?
Providence would have to lose. Otherwise, it would be a tie. So we'll see. Yeah. The other games there for the upcoming week are on the screen as well. There's Cornell, they're at Canisius, and let's jump right along here to another team that has their event starting today down in the this is the ESPN events down in Orlando. We've got Iona kicking things off today. Later on today against Alabama, and then getting either Belmont or Drake in the second round on Friday. But Iona picked up the two wins over Liberty and North Alabama to help the MAC sweep the MAC A-Sun Challenge. And and Rick Pitino's squad is at 5-0 and looking very good, I think.
Looking very good. Manhattan also looking good. There's just something so satisfying about seeing those two at the top of this league.
I did not expect it out of Manhattan, but you beat Liberty, like we mentioned earlier. So, hey, maybe we should pay attention to Manhattan.
Yeah. a fantastic rivalry, not just an under the radar rivalry, but college basketball rivalry that Iona Manhattan, Monmouth also in the mix. But I'm saying that because I don't want to just gloss over everybody else. But I think the storyline here is, can Iona get inside the bubble if they can pick up are they good enough to win the games in that ESPN event that they need to get inside the bubble? Because I don't know if they'll run the table in conference, but they're probably going to be favored in every game, and the one or two games they lose will be upsets.
Well, here's their schedule. First of all, other than this event, they only have three other non-conference games: Yale, Seton Hall, neutral court game with Seton Hall, and Delaware. So two of those three would definitely winnable. Seton Hall game, that might be where they need to pick up a win, especially if they only go 1-2 in this event. But Alabama later today, Belmont or Drake, both very good teams.
Yeah.
But if you play Belmont, definitely you got to beat them. And then the final round will be either Dayton, Miami, North Texas, or Kansas. As long as they're not playing Kansas, I'd expect them to be able to win that third game. On I think that's Sunday's final round.
Mm-hmm. So, again, this is a hugely important event for Iowa.
But you look at it. If they do lose to Alabama today and Drake beats Belmont, both very reasonably could happen.
Yeah.
If they could then beat Belmont and then maybe in a fifth place game you beat a Dayton or a Miami, I think that those are winnable games and it gives you two wins in this event.
Yeah. I'm sorry to Chris Reiner, friend of the show. I know a lot of people on his website watch this show. It better be Miami because Dayton is atrocious this year.
But
you're not going to get any credit for beating Dayton.
But it is at least another win. But yeah, I mean, unless they could somehow beat Alabama today, and then all bets are off. They beat Alabama today. That's a totally different story here. And then they have a shot. They could be playing. They could be playing Alabama, Drake, Kansas three games in a row. Those are the only games of note really in this conference coming up this week as well. I guess Riders at South Carolina, but I don't think Riders good enough to even beat South Carolina or Ole Miss. And then conference play starts some early conference play games next week.
This is such a fun league.
Another league that's off to a – sorry, go ahead, David.
I was just sad our good friend Lito Vecchio isn't here because it would have been a three-hour stint on this league.
A conference that almost was our feature conference this week because it had a very, very impressive week this week, I thought. It was the Mid-American Conference, and I'm really focusing in on a pair of teams here. Toledo, who won the Nassau Championship around the leaking roof, and Ohio U also is doing pretty darn good. And other than their only loss to Kentucky, and now you got Miami of Ohio also. They're off to a 5-0 start overall. So, and that doesn't even count Buffalo as well. So,
right,
you got four really fascinating teams at the top here.
You do. So I kind of have two things to unpack here, and I wonder if they sort of cancel each other out for the good. One is, Stephen F. Austin is a good team, but I thought Buffalo was a tournament caliber, bubble-ish, maybe inside the bubble caliber team. If you're that kind of team, you need to beat Stephen F. Austin, not every night, but like more than what they've been doing. Ohio, a team I really, really like. Their only loss at Kentucky. They played well for about 25 minutes in that game. No real shame there. So in one sense, I was like, well, that was a big, big, not just missed opportunity, but kind of a bad looking loss for Buffalo. But when you look at the rest of the league and you look at how surprising Miami's been, Toledo going down there winning that event.
Could there be quality wins
to be had in this conference
that can get
Buffalo back up into the, get their profile back?
David,
up.
I neglected to mention Kent State. That's the other team I want to mention. They didn't win their event. They lost in the finals to East Tennessee State in the Naples Invitational, but they picked up wins over James Madison team that we think is going to be near the top of the Colonial standings.
Yeah.
And they beat George Washington, who everybody beats. But those are, two decent wins there for Kent State. Has them at that 3-2 record.
Something I would like to point out to the committee, because the committee watches this show. This conference is not racking up its wins at the pastry cart. They're not playing home bye games. They're going out and playing either real home and homes against real teams on the road or in events. That's where these wins have come from.
Absolutely. I've been impressed by it. Disappointing team. I think we do need to mention Akron.
They get blown
out by Fordham, and then they lose by 12 points to Appalachian State as well in their event. Did pick up a win over Evansville in the final round, the seventh place game, but disappointing week for Akron. Everybody else, though, I thought had a very good week. So
yeah,
But yeah, this conference is going, you know, their metrics, if you look at some of the early metrics like our J&G, you've got Miami of Ohio, you got two top 100 teams. You've got two top 100 teams in the BPI. You've got in top 120, you have like four teams here in the KenPom ratings. So there are, you know, not bad, not awful ratings. There are some bad at the bottom, but yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. In terms of the upcoming schedule here, it does not seem to be populating on the screen, so we don't know what the upcoming schedule is. So, Dave, why don't we just guess at what games are coming up here in the MAC this week? Oh, there we go. Miami Ohio, interesting road to Saturday at Western Illinois, team that has been surprising. Yeah, the weather next
kind of been surprising this year. Let me see if there.
Next Wednesday, Ohio at LSU is definitely one.
Ohio at that's a big one. This Marshall and Akron game, it's a good game. I don't think it's going to end up meaning anything, but that's just a kind of a fun matchup.
It could be fun, but again, Akron, very disappointing so far. So, not that certain, not that certain. Let's jump over to the MEAC.
Okay.
This was our feature conference in week one, for those who remember, and I'm still fairly impressed by the MEAC. It has looked better, I think, non-conference this season than any season I remember. Norfolk State winning at Bowling Green. Howard picking up the win over William and Mary. You know, they're, and even the losses here, you see some of them were close games, you know, 10 points, within 10 points at least.
Yeah. A couple of ridiculous wins. Norfolk State beating Regent University by 75, and then NC Central saying, well, watch this, hold our beer.
Yes, set was a 78 that over Warren Wilson. Yeah. But look at that. South Carolina State only a 4-point loss to Upstate. Coppin State only a 1-point loss to Canisius. So they may not be getting fully over the hump in some of these games, but they are very competitive, at least against, you know, the quality mid majors or the middle of the pack mid majors.
Right. And you've got two teams here in Norfolk State and Howard. And I know this is going to sound backhanded, and I'm sorry if it does. I mean, for it to be analyzed, these teams are above what we normally see out of this MEAC.
Yes.
I mean, these are teams that are not gunning towards the, it's, we are not going to be able to just say in on January 3rd, well, there's a first 14.
Well, you know, if you were using the SOR as your only metric, the ESPN strength of resume or strength of record as your only metric, and you were trying to put together a field right now, Norfolk State would be on your board as a bubble team at 51. I don't think they're nearly that good.
No.
And things will play out more like in the mid 200s of the KenPom rating. But great start for this conference, I think. The conference with 61 wins or 71 wins, I say great start, but I think it really is.
Yeah.
Interesting challenge series coming up between the it's an HBCU challenge series coming up on Sunday and Monday. You've got it's a neutral court here. You got Norfolk State Hampton, Morgan State Grambling on day one, then Norfolk State Grambling, Morgan State Hampton on game two, a day two.
And are we being represented in that, Chad? Are we?
I don't know. We should send Tytel, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
But even more interestingly, on Saturday, David, North Carolina Central is not even hosting a real school. They're hosting the apprentices.
Oh, my God.
It's the apprentice school at North Carolina. The apprentice school. Let's move on. Missouri Valley Conference.
I'm amazed that a school called that could be countable. All right.
Drake, only two D1 games, but they'd be Richmond. They're 3-0. Loyola Chicago, only the one loss at 4-1. I still really high on both of these teams, though.
Yes.
Loyola's loss was a 2-point loss to Michigan State in the first round of the battle for Atlantis.
Yeah.
Game they should have won.
Game they should have won. Game, and you hate that because it was such – it's not a bad loss at all, but what – You feel like it was such a big missed opportunity, but the big, very thick silver lining is they get another opportunity today. We harp on this all November long. It doesn't matter that it is not on the winner's side of the bracket. The committee that doesn't even enter into it. All it is a neutral floor game against Auburn. So they have the same opportunity at a big win today that they had yesterday.
And obviously, Drake with a Belmont game today, possibly Alabama tomorrow. You know, huge week for these two powers in the Missouri Valley here. I was going to say, David, though, when you look at this screen here, and you look on the right-hand side there with the week's result, a lot of red, a lot of losses, not out of Drake and Loyola so much, but the rest of the conference, which will drag the conference numbers down heading into conference play and make it more difficult for an at-large bid out of this league, I think. That's
yeah,
the problem.
I am openly admitting to kind of being disappointed. Missouri State's been a disappointment. I thought Southern Illinois would do a little bit more than what they've done. Mm-hmm. Northern Iowa, I just don't. This is a team that won, was it 24, 25 games, whatever it was 2 years ago, and was beat up last year, but had everyone back, everyone fresh from 2 years ago. This should be a senior laden team with experience that has won at a high level, and they're awful. This was a league that if you had followed us in the preseason, I'll deny saying this now, I actually proposed that we move this off of under the radar this year.
Yeah, it has not shown me that. But again, I think it's a Drake Loyola Chicago and the rest so far. They're still tied for teams like Missouri State and to turn around Northern Iowa without a D1 win yet. There is time for them. But we look at the upcoming schedule here. Actually, we've got some early season conference play coming up next week in this conference as well.
Right. So a big week, a hugely important game today for Drake and Belmont, because like you said, when you look at the way that bracket plays out, winning today gives them better chances to build their resume than a loss would. And we're going to repeat this when we say this about Belmont, because they're in the same boat. Do you like this game, Chad, or do you kind of wish they wouldn't have put them together in the first game to where it's like, all right, you two go at it. The winner will get better chances and the loser, well, you're just going to have to hold serve.
You know, I'm not that – I don't really think you have that awful of a chance if you lose it, though, because it's I don't think Iona – if when you, the loser gets Iona and Alabama beats Iona, I don't think it's an awful, awful game for a resume at the end of the day. I think Iona will have strong metrics, and it's a more winnable game. So,
yeah. Good point.
There may be almost a sideways benefit to losing to Belmont. Now you don't want to have the loss to Belmont, but there is, I don't think it's such a good event here that's getting at.
So good. Yeah.
And you look at Loyola Chicago also. This is a huge game against Auburn. I don't know if they can beat
huge.
Auburn, but
massive. Yeah.
Win or lose, they're going to get either Syracuse or Arizona State on Friday, and neither of those teams are looking like anywhere close to being tournament teams this year. You want to get a tournament caliber win. This, you got to win this one today.
Yeah, which just goes to show you, like, if you're a fan of under the radar, which we are, and you follow these teams, how important November is. I don't want to ever hear anybody say, "Well, these games don't matter." Oh my God, you're an idiot.
Northeast Conference. Let's try to keep things rolling along.
These games don't matter.
Wagner, undefeated. Oh, but just because they're 2-0, they lost three games due to a COVID pause here. I was hoping we wouldn't have to say the words COVID pause at all this season.
Right.
Unfortunately, we did have to with them and Abilene Christian.
And it's exceptionally it's unfortunate just because of the health issue, but from a basketball issue, it was kind of unfortunate as well, because this was a Wagner team that really came out looking good, and they had to cancel some winnable games, and hopefully they get to replay those, but we'll see.
Yeah, and not much else you can really say about this conference at this point. You know, Merrimack actually off to a decent start with three D1 wins, ineligible for the postseason, but still a decent start for a transitional team there, including beating Hartford. But upcoming games, we already mentioned the Bryant Brown game, but I don't know that there's much to really look at in this conference. No matter how much we love this league, really that much to look at it until we get to conference play, because that's when this league gets so much fun.
Right. Fordham at Central Connecticut, sir. Fordham is going on the road.
I don't know. Fordham with that huge win over Akron, this is a Fordham team. Maybe we've been underrating them.
St. Francis Brooklyn at I thought they played already. St. Francis Brooklyn at Fordham. Maybe not. All right. No, they. I guess St. Francis Brooklyn played the Johnnies. Okay.
St. Francis Brooklyn was up most of that game on the Johnnies.
Yeah, they were.
The other day.
Yeah.
It was crazy, crazy game. Let's jump over to the Ohio Valley Conference.
Prepared for the show.
Ohio Valley Conference. We've already talked a little bit about Belmont. I don't need to really get into them again too much. But I guess the other team, really briefly, though, I do want to discuss, David, is Murray State. They are up to a 5-1 start. Picked up the big win over James Madison, among other things.
Yeah, I think we thought this would be a three-horse race. And I think we thought it would be Belmont way out in front and then maybe Murray and Moorhead trying to keep up. I've almost been more impressed with Murray than Belmont at this point. Belmont has not done anything horrendous or disappointing other than maybe miss some opportunities, but Murray State winning on neutral floors, winning against good under the radar teams away from home, a good start in SEMO. They had that big win at the beginning of the year and haven't really built on it since.
David, the most notable game from yesterday we have to discuss here is congratulations to Tennessee Martin with a 103-43 win over one of our favorite schools out there.
The Carver Bible College.
And David, I think this is a good chance to take a little break and bring something up here. A new little feature. Carver Bible College lose 18 or 19 D1 games this season. That's like a full season worth of games against a school that I think it's the only thing they're playing this year is these bye games against D1 teams. So I decided we need to track them a little bit more. So here is our Carver College Cougars tracker for the season. As you can see, they're 0-8 so far. But I do want to congratulate them. McNeese State did not get triple figures against them, only 98 points.
Yeah, and you look at these back-to-back games against Nichols. I mean, that was kind of a big deal. And what is the game? So 0-8, what do we got? 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. They got 19. We have tried to reach – we have tried to learn about Carver Bible College and have kind of failed. I think we went looking for their website and it hasn't been updated in whatever.
Look at the schedule. They actually have about a week off now, but then they play December 3rd, 5th, 8th, 9th, 11th, 15th, 16th. It is back-to-back nights at different schools. It's crazy.
Yeah. So what we are going to do, like, well, this is still in the preliminary stages, but I'll go ahead and let the audience know. You've seen in the past, remember how we tried to get a waiver for Grambling and we tried to get a waiver for the Lopes. 23 games is the minimum, I believe, is to be eligible for postseason competition. It's actually 27, but 23 need to be against D1 teams. I'm assuming they're playing at least 491 games. What we will do, Chad, we as a website are going to put all of the power behind helping Carver find four more games so they will be eligible for the NCAA tournament.
I would note if Abilene Christian and Wagner, who lost a few games, this might be the team to call to get an extra game on your schedule.
Yeah, Paul Carver, they need 23 to get.
They need a few more games. If we can get them four or five more games, we are going to petition the NCAA to put them under consideration board. Carver like College.
I'm eligible for postseason events.
I think they're definitely eligible for the AC8, are they not?
Yes. I don't know. I don't know how the AC8 works, and I'm one of the office.
upcoming schedule here for the OVC. The big games, of course, are the Belmont games we've already discussed several times. Murray, I don't I guess they're hosting Campbellsville on Monday, so we're not going to find much about Murray. But Circle next Thursday. We'll actually be able to talk about this again next week on Under the Radar. But next Thursday, Battle of the Boulevard, Lipscomb-Belmont. Great series. We already talked about the Patriot League, which would have been next. So let's skip that and move straight over to the SoCon, where we have this Chattanooga team sitting here now at 5-0 overall, 4-0 against D1. Win at VCU in there. I love this Chattanooga team this year.
Yeah, and I got to give you some credit, Chad. You were beating the drum on them before the year even started, and they've certainly lived up to it. Furman, who I was kind of big on, they do have the win at Louisville, but they've, they had a chance to pick up some other wins and didn't. But
and the home loss to Navy hurts on Furman.
Loss to Navy. Oh, God. Like otherwise, we'd be, really singing the praises of Furman. Now,
another team to sing the praises of, though, instead of
Furman. Who's that? Because I think I know where you're going.
Tennessee State goes to Naples, Florida, wins that event, beats Murray State, who we just discussed, beats Missouri State, who we just discussed, the team we liked hanging into the season, and then beat Kent State, a MAC team. We just discussed how much we like the MAC, and even Kent State among them. Three under-the-radar teams that we like all three of them. They beat them on three straight days. ETSU is the team to watch out for here after the mocks.
Right. And from a 72-hour period, I went from, sort of knowing that they had a team to being like, wow, they're one of the better teams in the league. And they are.
Absolutely. And we see the upcoming schedule here in this league here. When it comes to the two teams here, we mentioned earlier, we were talking about the Colonial, the Charleston-Chattanooga game coming up. But Chattanooga's in at Tennessee Tech. And I don't even know where East Tennessee State is here. They're playing Lees McRae. David,
is that a insight, school or just a guy?
A little insight.
I'm like all-star team.
I'm Lee McRae, and your thoughts on him? No?
Yeah. My thought is Lee is going to lose.
Okay, Lee is going to lose. Let's go to the Southland Conference, the small 8-team Southland Conference this year, which I think we can probably talk about 3 seconds because there really isn't much to discuss at this point.
Not much of anything. Nichols kind of got everybody's blood or juices going when they won that early season game. Unfortunately, that game is one of just, I believe, 5 or 6 that the conference has collectively won.
Yeah. Corpus Christi, 4-1 start. They a road game at UT San Antonio, but this is a UT San Antonio team that's losing to non D1 teams. So I don't really, I'm not there on Corpus Christi yet.
Not to pick on, is the Southland, does the SWAC have a chance at finishing ahead of the Southland this year?
I think they do. I'm not seeing anything. Wow. And you got a lot of non-D1 games here coming up.
I realize you've got half the league ranked 320 or worse. It's just
if you look in the KenPom ratings, only Nichols at 231 is the only top 300 team in this conference.
Let's move on.
Our Lady of the Lakes at Incarnate Word, a big San Antonio rivalry next Wednesday.
Yeah. Incarnate Word is 355, and they're not that far out of first.
SWAC. We want to talk about which conference is better. I kind of like the SWAC better. You got some better ratings here, don't you?
Now that the SWAC
you got multiple top 300 teams.
Yeah. So Southern has looked the part. I know that they've gone on the road and they're playing bye games and they're not winning them, but they've been competitive. And I kind of like this Southern team.
Southern's been competitive. Bethune-Cookman picked up a win over Bryant. You really don't know much about this league until we reach the end.
Right.
Unless there's a crazy upset or we reach conference play, but there's the upcoming schedule. Grambling is participating in that HBCU Challenge Series, so they'll get Norfolk State and Morgan State on Sunday and Monday.
Southern also going to Tennessee State, that's a winnable game for them. Not much else.
Alabama State at Dayton,
that might be a winnable game.
Let's got a couple more conferences here. The Summit League.
Love this league.
South Dakota State hosted, was part of in Sioux Falls, an event where they did pick up the win over Nevada and the win over George Mason, lost the game to Washington. Otherwise they would have taken the outright title in that event, but pretty good job by South Dakota State in that event, even though they only went 2-1.
Yeah. They were a team that we were big on coming into the year. And I think that they're at least living up to the expectations. Kind of a surprise team here, the Leathernecks. Chad.
Yes, we mentioned them earlier, and they won at Nebraska. They lose to DePaul. I don't know. They win at Northern Kentucky, though, so it's kind of a bit of a yo-yo here.
And it seems like the Leathernecks in a typical year, they'll either get a big win in a bye game early in the season. I think they beat Wisconsin in a year where Wisconsin went on to finish in the top 10, and Western Illinois failed to make the Summit League tournament. So they shine like the sun in the first week of the season, and then in that 1-8 game in the Summit League tournament. I think they always give somebody a big scare. It's just the 30 games in between where they struggle.
We do need to give another shout out now to the Tommies, transitioning right from D3 to D1 and pick up 2 more D1 wins this week over both Niagara and SIU Edwardsville.
Yes.
3 D1 wins already. That's about the that would have been the over-under for the year on D1 wins for this team.
I would have taken the under. I don't want to be I'm not trying to be funny here. Transitioning up is hard. You're coming from D2 and you don't have D1 caliber players. You don't have anyone that's ever played at the D1 level or coached at the D1 level. And generally what happens is teams get railroaded. These kids weren't on scholarship. The gap between D2 and D3 is pretty big. How the hell have they won 3 games against anybody? I'm not even trying to – that. I know that sounds like faint praise. It's not.
But congratulations. They've got 1 game at Seattle coming up on Saturday. Then they're hosting Crown College next week. I don't know, but,
Crown College is more – I mean, if a D3 team was playing Crown College, you'd be like, oh, okay.
The rest of this upcoming schedule, interesting Oklahoma State Oral Roberts game on Friday here also. Oral Roberts, obviously we know what they did last year in the NCAA tournament. This may be a chance for them to make a little bit of noise, especially hosting Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. Kansas City is playing an event that they're going to play Morehead and at Arkansas State. They've also what else do we have coming up on here?
We got a big one. I mean, we'll have another under the radar show before this happens, but look at what we've got a week from today. The Front Range.
Front Range, Denver and Wyoming. Coming next Thursday. Tulsa, Oral Roberts. Actually, Oral Roberts, a pair of rivalry games here, quote-unquote rivalry games. Oklahoma State and Tulsa coming into town. So
I think it's fair to call Tulsa at least a feud.
Yeah, a feud. Yeah. Sun Belt Conference. Let's try to get through the last couple leagues here. I don't know that anybody's done anything absolutely remarkable yet. Georgia State has looked pretty decent, only one loss. Georgia Southern also off to a 4-1 start. But nothing stood out from this conference yet for me.
Yeah, me neither. The kind of teams that had my attention coming into the year, Texas State a little bit, Louisiana a little bit. I don't want to say that they've done anything bad, but they haven't done anything that made me be like, oh, we got to talk about them. Do we have to talk about them?
Which team?
Louisiana, Louisiana and Texas State.
I do want to give a quick shout out to Coastal Carolina. Cliff Ellis picked up his 800th career win. This weekend in their event. So congratulations to Coach Ellis. But upcoming schedule: Sun Belt, Georgia Southern at Georgia Tech, Georgia State at Rhode Island. Maybe we get a little bit more of a look at some of these teams: Texas State at Rice, Georgia Southern at Morehead, Georgia State hosting Tennessee State.
Yeah.
App State hosting Boys. Louisiana Monroe hosting Centenary, David.
Oh, yes. Now that's a D3 team.
That is a D3 team.
The award. That might be the – if we haven't been doing the under-the-radar game of the day. If we did, that would definitely be the
one. Oh, they have an award at Hoops 16 named after them. So,
yes.
Robert Parrish's school. WAC. New Mexico State, we thought they were on cruise control. We thought they were looking so good. Then they kind of – laid in complete egg last week against Utah State, really not even showing up for that game. And that's what just, I not that they lost the game, but that they got blown out at 85-58 is what shocked me.
Yeah. And this was a game that if you're a New Mexico State team trying to get to where they want to go to, you got to win that game or at least show up. And they didn't. And I haven't seen anybody else in this league that I think is as good as they are, but it's one of those points that you can win a lot of games. One of them better be that last conference tournament game. How about the Lopes? They were unbeaten, dropping a home game to Wyoming. That's always a fun rivalry. I just don't see anybody, as much as I like this league and as much of as its basketball pedigree has gone out with Abilene Christian and Sam Houston coming in. No one's going to be in the bubble.
Stephen F. Austin coming in as well. Yeah, no, I don't think it is. New Mexico State, I think what it really showed me was last night. They beat New Mexico Highlands, but that was a close game for the first 30 minutes. They blew them out of the last 10 minutes of the game, last 15 minutes of the game. But you can't be playing with New Mexico Highlands like that.
That's,
upcoming schedule in the WAC. We'll see what New Mexico State has coming up this week. They got the big game against New Mexico coming up on Tuesday. Really a must win if they have any dreams of a bubble, but I don't know. Chicago State's at Loyola. Loyola, Maryland. Maryland, actually.
Yeah. BYU going to Utah Valley. Wow. I know that's a Beehive game. They're going to Utah Valley.
There we go. And Tarleton going to Gonzaga. Tarleton hung with Michigan last night.
Tarleton was in the
Michigan game until there was a minute left of the game, Dave. Come on.
Yeah, they did. And a transitional team hanging, that was a good showing. It really was.
You mentioned it earlier. Why don't we do a quick check-in down the Front Range?
Okay, yeah.
We do have one conference game, Air Force, with the huge one-point win, barely pulling out the win over Denver. Denver, our defending Centenary Award winner for the worst team in D1 from last year. Air Force pull out the one-point win. But for a while now, they are going to be in first place in the Front Range. So congratulations to the Falcons.
And what a war that was. Every game just down to the wire. We're not going to get a Colorado State-Colorado game this year. But how about we'll talk about this on Monday. Wyoming, nice win. Nice start and nice win at Grand Canyon. Not Grand Canyon doesn't lose much at all.
Yep. So Colorado State and Wyoming both undefeated. Colorado 5-1. Two front range games on the schedule for this week, though. Starting Saturday, Northern Colorado is at Colorado State. And then on next week, Thursday, we already mentioned Denver at Wyoming. Big week for the front range then.
Yeah, big week.
Let's go to our top 10 list.
Yeah.
This is our under the radar top 10. Our good friend Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org did cast a vote in this, but he was not able to join us today. But let's start with our honorable mentions. These are teams that received votes but did not quite make the top 10 list. Toledo, Miami, Ohio, Furman, Weber State, Louisiana Tech, UC Santa Barbara, Murray State, all getting at least a little bit of love from one of the three of us.
Yeah.
Let's run through the top 10, though. Coming at number 10, UC Irvine.
Out of the Big West. Yeah, they could have been a little higher, but that's good.
At 9, we got UAB out of Conference USA. Okay. Louisiana Tech, the other team we liked, only made an honorable mention. UAB did get the top 10.
Yeah.
We have a three-way tie for 6. Let's reveal all three of them. We got South Dakota State, New Mexico State, and Oakland all tied for 6.
Yeah. I thought you used executive authority to break the ties, Jed.
No, I just put up there.
Okay.
It was a three-way tie. South Dakota State, the Rabbits, New Mexico State. I don't think Mexico State belongs in the top 10 right now. You and Rocco both did, I think, and Oakland on there. Number 5, we got Iona, Rick Pitino's squad, moving up that list. Could move up big time, maybe only to the top, depending on what they do this week. Number 4, we got Chattanooga.
Good team. Yeah.
Let me go back there. Iona might actually move all the way off this list if they win this event this weekend, because they'd be in the top 25 nationally. No longer under the radar.
Right.
But there's the Mocs coming in number 4. Really good team. We mentioned them before. Ohio U.
Like this team a lot. I think they're good.
The top 2 teams, no surprise. Loyola Chicago coming in number 2, and the undefeated Drake team coming number 1. We'll learn a lot about both these two teams over the next few days.
A lot, in their two events that they're in. And I thought Loyola, despite the loss, showed that they could play at a high level yesterday. Hopefully they show us that again today.
I guess let me pull this on down here. David, it is Thanksgiving, so I'm going to let everyone go and get their turkey dinner or start cooking it or, whatever. Yeah. But any other final thoughts for everybody on this Thanksgiving
holiday? This is such a fun time of year for under-the-radar schools, because it is their opportunity to get teams on equal terms in these exempt events that they can get into. The other thing is that, we just hope everybody has a safe and happy Thanksgiving. I realize not everybody will. If you can't be with your family, turn on the games and tweet at us. We'll be watching. If you have to be around your family and can't get away from them, turn on the games and tweet at us. We'll be watching them.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll be watching them, but it should be a fun weekend. It should be a fun next week. We'll be back Monday with a Hoops HD report, and Thursday next week with Wednesday next week with our Under the Radar on our normal day. But on behalf of David Griggs over there, I'm Chad Sherwood. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you again real soon.